Welcome back to another episode of Goonies World. I am Johnny Farrow, also known as Sean. And with me is the magnificent Meanie, also known as Ryan.
Oh, well, thank you. That was very nice of you.
And then we also have the garrulous Goonie, also known as Colin.
I don't know what that means, but thank you.
It's a compliment. And then we finally have the lovely Lunicorn, also known as Lynn.
Hello, hello, hello.
And tonight we're playing part two of our game of Into the Odd. And we're not going to recap. We're just going to jump right in. If you want to know what happened, go listen to the last episode. So, as I said, when we stopped, you guys were outside Moonstone House. And the light was getting low. And it was late afternoon. Starting to get slanted and red, and of course it's filtered through all the grime and smog and smokes from the many smokestacks and factories here in Bastion. But you had just opened the gate through the gate around the house, big brick wall, and after being informed by the turnip seller of local lore and legend about the place, and buying 20, not 10, radishes from the radish seller, in Roach's belief that it might stop the wasting sickness to radishes somehow, you've finally entered the yard. As I say, there's still plenty of ambient light around. But there's a hedge maze around the house, but it's really no barrier because it's so old and dried and it's only about waist high. You can just like crash through it and step over it if you want. But there is like at one point a nice little mosaic walkway. Now, as I say, there's that crumbling, rotten hedge maze, and there's a whole bunch of trash and some bones and broken bottles and that sort of debris that you might find in an urban abandoned property. And as you're approaching the house, you see that relic, and I keep calling it a house. You know, a mansion is a better, you know, word for it. It's a tower-like mansion with a turret kind of coming off one side at the top. But as you get closer, you see a relic of its days of the country, because there actually is an old moat around it, and it's like just too wide to jump it, right? There is a drawbridge up by the door, not like a huge castle-type drawbridge, but a much more modestly sized one that would make it very easy to cross the moat if only you could just get to the other side of it. The moat's full of unwholesome-looking lily pads and leaves floating in it, and as you get closer, and you realize that behind you, the radish seller has got quite a little crowd now of people peering through the gate of interested locals who, at least right now, still have enough fading light to watch what's going on. But you stop by the moat, and as you approach it, there is a bunch of little birds sitting on the leaves and lily pads. You know, they're just light enough, right, to be able to sit on them, who are feeding on just disgusting-looking worms in the water. But as you get close, they all fly away. You see there are even a few lizards on some of the lily pads, but they drift off and go away. And now you find yourself there on the wrong side of this moat, looking at the drawbridge, which is pulled up on the other side. There's like a little catch there where you can see it'd be easy to get the drawbridge down if you were over there. But what do you do?
Hell, any ideas?
Does anyone have any rope?
I don't have a rope, but I got a radish. I got a bunch of radishes, so I'm going to toss one in the moat.
Well, you toss one in the moat, and it just lands on the lily pad, and it's not enough weight to actually sink the lily pad. It's too bad that you're not tiny, or that you just don't weigh a tiny, you know, a little bit, because then maybe you could just scamper over like a bird or a lizard. But.
And what were you trying to accomplish by throwing one of your radishes into the moat?
Well, I thought if there was an alligator or something, it might Well, you know, come over and take a nibble on it, or at least investigate.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Actually, I do have something. Perhaps Kaiden, Harriet, and Rashi can help. They're tiny. They should be able to skip right over those lily pads and perhaps find the mechanism for the drawbridge. So I'm going to send my little skellies over.
Yeah, let's not forget that the loud-lunged Nyx Shadowthorn does have an arcana. She has a tomb box with three little cute animal skeletons in it. Do you want to try to send them over?
I do.
Well, and you open the tomb box, and they scamper out. And you picture them as cute, so I imagine they act cute. You know, they come up and nuzzle your hand and frolic around a little bit. And then they hop down right onto the lily pad, and they hop from lily pad to lily pad. They can even step on a few of the big leaves that are floating in there. And they get across to their side, and they climb up the chain on the outside and trigger the release. And with a great whoomp, the drawbridge falls down.
Great.
And your little friends scamper back across and hop up into the box.
Excellent.
They deserve a treat for that. Do you have anything?
Yes, they do.
Well, they're skeletons,
Ooh,
but...
I got a radish.
Maybe they eat radishes.
Oh, oh,
we'll see if
yeah.
they'd like a radish.
I'll hand a radish to Nyx to drop in the box and see if it disappears at some point.
Little snack, lovies.
Yeah, you drop the radish in the box, and the last thing you see before we close the box, them all staring at it in somewhat dumbfounded fashion. We'll see what happens next time you open the box. Don't let me forget about that radish in the box. But they'll mutate into radish creatures. But anyway, with the good use of one of your arcana, you guys do make it in. And on the other side of that drawbridge, there's a maybe just a very narrow, not a very deep foyer area where it's not quite a tunnel, right? Just a few steps, and then there's a great big wooden door, which has got a great big chain in front of it and a lock. And a stencil has been stenciled over. It's like official, you know, property of the people of Bastion. And it's like a warning against salvage jacking. You guys have already been warned about salvage jacks. Guys who don't have a permit to, they don't have the salvage rights, which you do. And sometimes they come in here. But like I said, there's this huge lock on the door. You have to get rid of this lock and unchain it first. But you know, want to get a closer look or see what they can do?
Well, minor point of housekeeping. As we cross over the drawbridge, can Roach retrieve, kneel down and retrieve the radish that he dropped on a lily pad?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, he will do that.
Well, this is, Into the Odd is a system where you really do have to keep track of your radishes. So.
Yeah, I've got, he's going to keep that one separate from the rest because he doesn't want to eat the one that he dropped on the lily pad.
Okay. Fair enough. And maybe that particular radish will have some use later on in our story.
Bruh.
But yeah, it's a big stencil do not enter thing, essentially. And it's a great big lock. What do you do when faced with this?
Well, I've got a rocket, but that seems like overkill.
Well, you'd think that if we got the salvage rights, we'd get a key.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, they should have.
Now I'm suspicious that we ain't got the rights, really.
Oh, I'm sure we do. It's just an oversight on their part.
Well, yeah, you did satisfy yourselves that you have a... Let me put it this way. You are in possession of paperwork that allows the bearer of that paperwork salvage rights here. Whether there's any other legal niceties you might not be aware of is another story.
Yes. Well, I'll take a closer look at the lock. See if it's... What type it is and all that.
Well, you get really close. You look at it, you touch it. I imagine, it's that kind of lock where you pull down, right? Where you can pull it down, there's like a loop over it, you know, it goes into the lock that's securing it to the chain. You get closer and you look at it, it looks like it's a little out. And when you tug on it just a little bit, it just comes right open. And you realize that someone's already picked this lock. What they've done is they've pushed the mechanism back in just enough to where it just kind of hanging there to where it looks locked, but really it's not locked. And in fact, when that happens, the whole chain just falls off. It's just been like, you know, draped over the hinges and the little white sconceman, you know, next to the door. And it seems like not much of a thing.
Yes, I think we're getting sloppy seconds on this mansion.
Yes, quite.
And I'm not happy about it. I should have gotten a guild there instead.
A guild is a lot of money, yeah.
Well,
of course, the reason you accepted this is because a guilder is a lot of money, but you could potentially, if it's not already looted, make a lot more than a guilder here. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, hopefully it's not picked clean in here, but maybe they missed something. Let's take a look.
Well, you want to go in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Roach is just going to, basically as soon as the chain comes down, he's just going to open the door.
Okay, well, during all this discussion, Roach goes and opens the door, and you open it, and suddenly there's this burning all over your skin. There's like a loud clatter. Somebody has set up something above the door. You guys, Roach is on the back of his neck, and an ear is this glowing phosphorescent ooze. You guys know what it is. It's a chemical. It's called fairy fire, and it just burns and stings. It's not going to kill you, but it is deeply irritating. It's like, again, dripped all the way down your upper ear, you know, and then down your back. A little bit's getting in or running down your collarbone. And I said there's a great big clatter. There's pails, like metal pails of cutlery and forks and spoons that have fallen down and made a loud noise. And then a little broken small vial that contained fairy fire. You realize that this has been set up just inside the door. And you made a huge noise, and you... Roach, actually take 1 point of damage, 1 HP loss from the burning irritation of the phosphorescent goo that is fairy fire.
Well, and he would be so startled by the noise and the burning that as soon as he feels that he's burning, he's going to jump into the moat.
Okay, totally. Yeah, he runs out. Oh, jumps into the moat. And then the radish monster that wasn't satisfied with one radish rises up. No, there's no radish monster. You do get thoroughly soaking wet, and you're kind of greasy as well. But when you jump in, you realize that the moat was only about 4 feet deep the whole time. It's just so covered with. But you get down. I imagine wash your neck, and that's a good thing to do because that stuff can linger and burn for a while.
Oh dear!
Like over a course of several rounds and turns. So that was a good move, actually. But. Yeah, if there is anyone in here, you've certainly announced your presence.
I think we might be dealing with a squatter or two. Here, we've got to remove them. They have no right.
Yes, exactly.
My neck's burning, but I think that I'll be all right. I might need to rest a bit. We'll see.
Do you guys want to take a few minutes before you go in? Well, get your heads together?
I think we can spare a few minutes to... Let, what is your name? Roach.
Roach.
Get your neck situated.
Yes, and for those not familiar with Into the Odd, a few minutes of rest and a swig of water, which I think we can assume you've had, it will allow a character to recover their lost HP, which is fairly generous, but in other ways, it could be a hard system too, but... Yeah, no reason to go find a cleric or go back to town and, go to the temple and get healed up. All you need to do is just chill out. You sit, you rest for a minute on the drawbridge before you go in. Now, while you're resting, though, it's easy to look in the door. And there's still a bit of fading ambient light, just enough for you to see the inside of this first great room. And there's... The first thing you notice is there's a staircase that goes all the way up. It's a circular room, and the staircase is not exactly a spiral, quote unquote, staircase, but it curves up the wall. And there's another door that you can see the top of some stairs that clearly lead down, so you can see immediately how to get up and down. And there is an immense fireplace with the crescent moon symbol, the same symbol that was on the gate, the moon family crest, probably. Is over the fireplace. There are lots of cobwebs in here, and there's furniture that's actually covered with sheets, and it's all very dusty. And there are portraits on the wall. There's just enough fading light coming in through one of the windows to reveal the portraits. It's it's three girls. One's like a young woman, one's an adolescent, and one's like a little girl. And you remember hearing the story of the three moon girls who lived here. There was Ruby and Harvest and Tiptoe. They had all died of the wasting sickness. Ruby was the one who had joined a cult-like society, the Society of the Existential Fulcrum, one of them astral cults, as it was explained to you. But they're very pretty girls in the portraits, but there's something vaguely off about their faces. There's like an uncanny valley type effect you can't put your finger on, almost as if you ever see like a, you know, a weird failure of AI-generated art, where it's just kind of disturbing, you know. That's what their pictures look like. But then from behind the couches that are covered up, you know, with sheets, three shadows just leap up. And you realize there are three men in here, and they're looking for action. One of them goes, "This place is taken. This is our salvage job tonight," he says. He's a immensely fat man holding a club, and he got a lantern hanging at his waist, but it's not on at the moment. And then one of them stands up, and he's this great big towering guy. In fact, seems a little unsteady on his feet, like maybe he's a klutz or he's drunk. He's actually got this old school spear. He's like spinning it around, trying to look like a badass, doing these, you know, spear spinning type moves. And there's one last fellow. It's even in the fading light, you can tell he has no nose, and he brandishes a pistol. And what do you do? Because in this system, generally, the players will act first, unless there's some reason why they shouldn't. I could probably argue a little surprise here, you know, but they're at a little distance from you, and they've given you a warning. "So you listening up?" says Fatty. "This is our place. Get out."
I beg to differ. We've got the paperwork. It's all in order. You're trespassing.
The guy with no nose says, "Paperwork? We don't care about no stinking paperwork." And they all chuckle evilly.
"Well, but you have to. It's paperwork. It's all right here. Can't you read?"
"If you're not going to leave on your own, we're going to make you leave. Ain't that right, Fatty?"
"Yeah, that's right," says Fatty. And they leap forward as if they're going to attack you. But in general, players go first. And I'm going to interpret that literally right now.
Okay.
What would you guys do now that you're moving whatever order you see fit? So I guess really whoever seizes the initiative.
I'm assuming that we have not had enough time to complete our short rest.
No, you guys had your short rest. Okay. This didn't happen until you guys actually went in. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Good clarification, though.
Okay. Well, I will send out my frozen cloud.
Uh-oh.
And I did say that because it's a cloud that probably does move somewhat slowly.
Well, I'm going to imagine it can move just about as fast as you could move. Yeah.
So, maybe probably the guy. Well, the no nose guy. I think he had a pistol.
Yeah, he did. He had a quad gun.
Okay. Yeah.
In a really annoying voice, like my goblin character in the last game we played.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to float the frozen cloud, you know, over him. Not to where it's covering him, I guess.
Yeah,
so he's stuck in the middle, and he will take D6 damage and can't move unless he passes a strength save.
You're absolutely right. And why don't you go ahead and roll that D6 damage?
"Hey, what was happening? What's that?"
He said, and you can see like frost is forming all over his hands and the quad gun, and icicles are forming in his hair.
Yeah, one.
Well, one is better than none. I mean, he's not wearing any armor. And
let's
so
see if he passes his strength save so he can do something.
It, when he wants to do something, he's going to have to. Yeah. Right now, he's freezing and freaking out. Anybody else have some action they'd like to leap into immediately?
Yeah, so Roach is going to say, "Ooh, this is what you get for not paying attention to paperwork." And he's going to lob his bomb directly into the...
Oh, crap. All right. You throw your bomb.
Nice.
All right. And later on, you may wish you had that bomb, but it's a bomb thrown is a dramatic thing. So, yeah, you hurl the bomb. Go ahead and roll damage to that bomb. It's going to be a blast effect. It's going to get all of them. Yeah. Luckily, you guys are still at the edge of the room. You know, they're in the center of the room.
So no roll, no to hit roll or anything, just straight damage, right?
Yep. In fact, you just roll the damage. In fact, there's no to hit roll at all in this game.
Gotcha.
You just roll the damage. And you roll separately for each one of them.
Okay, so 1-8, 1-2, okay. And 1-1.
Okay. All right, well, the guy who was like either a towering klutz or a towering drunk staggers back. He's got some shrapnel in him. He doesn't look like he's hurt terribly, terribly badly, but he's shocked. And so is the fat guy. He's also hurt, and he staggers back, but he's still up. The guy with no nose and the annoying voice, you blow through all the rest of his HP and go down into his strength. He only has 4 strength left now. He has to immediately make a save against that 4. And, he rolls a 13. So he has taken critical damage, and he is unable to continue. You know, he crumples. If he didn't even crumple to the ground, he probably flies into, flies into the fireplace and slumps down. So he's dying. If no one helps him within an hour, he'll be dead. He's out of it for now and not a threat to you. You can even consider him unconscious, really. But, what do you do, Nyx? Anything?
I shall leap into the fray with my club.
Okay. And who do you want to leap on to? There's the towering klutz, and there's Fatty.
Let's go for Fatty.
Okay. Fatty's still a little discombobulated from this explosion, right?
3.
Okay. He's not wearing an armor. He's now staggering, so he's got like 1 HP left at this point. And then since he's right there, he bashes back at you with his club, which is really more like a riot club. You know, it's not like a great big wooden club. And out of habit, I just gave him a 2-hit roll, which he does not need. All he has to do is roll damage, which he got a 5, and you're not wearing any armor. This is where you'd subtract armor if you had any. Which is pretty big. 5 knocks you all the way down to 1 yourself.
Yep.
And then the towering klutz, remember, had that old school spear, throws the spear at the guy who threw the bomb, Roach, and gets 4 points of damage. And it's now another turn. And Percy, what are you doing?
Well, you forced me to do this. I'm going to draw my pistol, and I will shoot the towering spear chucker.
All right. And boom! Your pistol goes off. So you roll a d6.
Another 1.
Another 1. Like I had 1. Oh. So he has 0 HP. No more come off of strength, but he's got to make that. And he just rolls a natural 20, so he also has had critical damage, which is like so bad. And he klutzes himself right over that sheet-draped couch and falls on his ass. And then Fatty goes, no, wait, let's do a deal, huh? Me and you, 60-40.
No deal. This is all
okay,
property.
Okay, 55. Okay, 55-50.
I'm afraid not.
The deal is, you can get the hell out of here and let us go back to our rightful salvage operation. Yeah, that's the deal.
He said they don't respect paperwork. They don't like bureaucracy. I think they need to just.
And then he's going to wave his tyrant rod.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, he'll make his will roll. But he has an average will. I mean, he's got to get a 10 or less. And, oh, my God, I just want another natural fucking 20. I just want a natural 20. So, yeah, he, like, leaps up into the air. Ah! With a high pitch. Like, drops all his stuff. Drops his club. You know, drops his lantern. Just runs for the door. You can, he goes, oh, you can hear it. Thunders across the drawbridge, goes out through the yard. You can, you know, there's a crowd at the gate. You can hear them all laughing at him as he comes rushing out. And, yeah, congratulations. You've dealt with the salvage jacks. Now, here's the thing. You can see these guys are dying. They're unconscious. Do you want to leave them where they lie, or are you the types who would go ahead and finish them off? Or do you want to take their stuff? They've all got some stuff.
If they're in the house, we have stuff. All the rights to everything in the house.
That's right. They're in the house. We have salvage rights to their unconscious bodies.
Yeah, I think we take all their stuff and then just...
Well, what I would like to do is just take all this stuff because it's in the house. Well, they're in the house too. Does the salvage rights stipulate that what we have to take can't be alive? Are they all property now?
that might be something for. I don't know if there's lawyers in this game, but.
Oh, there's probably way too many. You know, and one of the things I like about Into the Odd, I'll interject here, is very little is given about Bastion. There's some things implied in the equipment lists, and there's a few paragraphs, but they give you a lot of room to make Bastion your very own. And I think that in a place like this with industry and newspapers, there's got to be lawyers. Whether slavery is legal, I'm not so sure, but indentured servitude of some sort probably is.
You know. Yeah, well, and I, you know,
well, I think that they're in the house, and we own everything, and we have rights to everything in the house. So they've got to. Well, I think we should take all this stuff, wake them up, and then tell them that they are our servants for the rest of the day.
Well, let's start with taking their stuff.
Yes.
Now, Fatty, and that, you know, that's a nickname. He owned it. He was proud of it. I'm not making fun of him. Okay. He had a club, and like I say, it's D6 damage. You guys already have some D6 damage, right? But you don't have a D6 melee weapon, I'd take
right,
it.
Right, I was just going to say, I don't have any melee, so I will take the club if nobody else wants it.
Yeah, and it's like I say, it's really more of like a police baton, you know, sort of club. And he also had a lantern. It's actually a hooded lantern, and it's got a... an attachment where you can focus its beam down to like a flashlight, or you can open it up and get a big broad light. So it's a pretty nice lantern. And you're going to need it soon because, you know, the light's been fading during this whole fight. And then the guy with no nose did have a pistol. And he's also got some lockpicks hanging on his belt. And then the fellow with the spear is a great big spear. It does D8 damage, but it's bulky. So you got to use like two hands with it, and you can only carry like three bulky items at the max. And he also, for whatever reason, has a little sack with a brick in it. It's like a sort of old-fashioned brick in a sack. Mm-hmm. And so you've got all their stuff. Now what do you want to do with them?
I do agree that you could make the argument that that they are our property, but I don't think they'll respect that.
No, they've already stated that they don't respect paperwork, and we're making this assumption based off of our paperwork, so I don't think they'll comply.
Well, then we just have to kill them.
Well, I'm hesitant to slaughter unconscious people, but maybe we could just move them outside of the house, let someone else deal with them, roll them out.
What would we just give them a choice? They be our servants, or we kill them. Or we can dump them in the moat.
I thought about that. Just roll them into the moat. But it seems so heartless, though.
Well, it'll probably wake them up, and then
they was going
to
kill us.
Run away. That's true. They were going to kill us.
Well,
what do you think? You're going to throw them in the moat? You're going to slit their throats? You're going to drag them outside and let the crowd take care of them?
Yes, I'm for the crowd scenario.
Well, just to keep things moving, we'll say you guys go ahead and do that. You drag them outside, and there's some jeers and laughing, and you hear the radish seller go, "Those are my boys. They believe in the radishes. Hold up the bag of radishes!" He yells through the fence over to
them. Ooh, and I hold up the bag of radishes. Ooh, they're delicious, too. I've had one.
And then he starts saying to the crowd, "Radishes only 10 pence, 10 pence." Which, you know, he's raised his price now that the radishes are
they're in demand,
higher perceived value. Yeah. Anyway, I'll assume you guys go back into the house. And I said that there were some stairs that were obviously going down. That was more like a service type, you know, stairway. And then there were a massive, obvious, you know, staircase circling around the wall going up. Now, you don't really, you know, and now we can assume you go ahead and look around in here. You know, it's obvious. There's nothing of obvious value. It was something sewn into the cushions of one of these, you know, piece of furniture or something. Do you think that the downstairs is more likely to have the treasure you seek or upstairs?
Looking around, I think, you know, if there's any valuables to be had, maybe upstairs there's some rooms where these wealthy people lived. Maybe they'd keep some jewelry up there or something, but hopefully they had it hidden, and hopefully that we can find it. It doesn't look like these other salvage jacks had found anything. They didn't have anything on them, so...
Yes, they appeared to be just laying about and gloating and
being
bullies.
Yes, they were layabouts.
Layabouts.
Yes, possibly they didn't get here that much before you had enough time to set up their little trap, you know, to warn them or whatever. But anyway, sounds like maybe you guys want to go upstairs. So we'll start with that. Now, it's an old stairway and it creaks a little bit, but it's not like you're worried about noise at this point. There's been bombs going off and, you know, you know, pails full of cutlery flying around and everything else, and gunshots. But you go up the stairs all the way, and you can look down on this scene of carnage. But now it's getting, you know, fairly dark. So who has that lantern? Do you guys want to light it? Or?
Yes, I wrote it down, so.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I can take charge of that if you would like.
Okay, yeah, as long as you've got a weapon that you only need one hand for, you'll be good. Yes.
And I also, if no one has an objection, I would like to tuck the pistol into my waistband because I don't have a ranged weapon.
Okay.
That's fine with
me. Sounds good. And anyway, you light the lantern. And now, if you get a real expedition going, you need to get a lighter boy. You know, you need to hire a lighter boy to light your lantern. Because lanterns are always important if you go down into the underground someday. But, lighter boy is one of the things you can end up with in equipment on the table. Like, lighter boy! Comes over and lights your lighter. But
Skellies could act as lighter boys.
Yeah. The underground is full of, is littered with dead lighter boys, you know. And anyway, you guys creep up the stairs. You get to the top of the stairs, and the light of the lantern, you can actually hear this, like, weird grinding sound behind a door at the top of the stairs. It's, the door's closed. And beyond it, you can hear this kind of grinding, rhythmic sound coming from the other side. It's not super loud because you didn't really hear it until you got right up here. But the carpet in front of the door, it's also like soaked with like brownish substance. It's, I shouldn't say soaked because it's kind of like dried, but there's like a dried puddle of a brownish substance that looks like at one point it seeped out from the other side of the door, almost like dried blood.
What in the
world?
But it
is dry.
Something's going on here. Something peculiar. Peculiar.
I don't like it.
Well, I'm going to put my ear to the door.
Okay. Again, you hear like a rhythmic, kind of a grinding sound, but with like maybe a higher pitched metal sheen to it. Like shing, 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 over and over. That's what you can kind of pick up, that higher pitched shing. It's like thin metal moving, or God knows what it could be. But
maybe somebody's sharpening something, perhaps. I don't know. You're using a whetstone.
And I'll say you could probably also tell from, you know, living around so many automated factories, or, you know, it sounds rhythmic. It sounds, you know, artificial.
Some sort of machine occurring. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know if there's someone in there, or if they left their contraption on. Some sort of automated thing. But, I suppose we won't know until we enter.
All right, you want to go in?
Well, it is our house. I have every right. I'm going to open the door.
All right, and, you try to open the door. It opens inward. You try to open it, and you realize it's not locked, but it's stuck. You open it like a... And then it's stuck. Do you want to push it open hard?
Yes, okay. I think so.
Watch out for fairy fire.
Yeah, that's a good warning. Yep. Well, you gotta give it a good hard shove, so let's have a strength save. This could be risky. We really only roll when something could be risky.
Okay.
And
I got under my strength.
That's great. So you shove the door open, and because you made it, you're going to open the door either way. But because you made your roll, you don't continue on to stumble inside, you know, with your momentum, right? And so you don't stumble into the room. And you see it's a short hallway with a door at the other end. You have the feeling it goes into that side turret you saw sticking off the side of the mansion. But the hallway is full of swinging circular blades. They're not swinging. They're coming out from slits in the walls. You know, horizontal slits, grooves that go all along the walls. And they're coming out both sides. And there's a circular saws down at mid-calf level, and another one at mid-thigh level, another one at stomach level, another one like at neck level or head for some people. There's not enough room to crawl under. There's enough room to, you know, get over it. You don't see how you'd... get out of it. There's some other stuff in here, though. Right in front of you is this, and starting to smell now, too, is this body cut in many pieces lying on the floor. It's several days old, as I say, and it stinks a little bit. And he's got a sword on him, and he's actually got a grappling hook and some rope, too. But you'd have to, like, reach in to grab that stuff. You wouldn't have to go all the way in, you know, to grab that, but you'd have to reach in. He got it the second he walked in, you know. But for whatever reason, the thing's still going. Also, by the door at the other end, there's a broom, for whatever that's worth, but there's no getting to that broom either. And these saws are coming out of grooves, like I say, that are about, you know, about an inch thick. So, anyway, that's the situation you find yourself faced with. I always hesitate to give too much information, you know, until you start asking more detailed questions.
Well, this is actually good news. This means they did have security, and it means that likely that this place hasn't been looted, you know, completely, at least. Perhaps, does anyone have any clue as to how to navigate safely through here?
I wonder if we can use the spear, if no one's using it, to jam in and stop the mechanism from turning, at least on one of these saws.
Well, that's a good idea. You want to give it a shot?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you, this could be an element of risk here, right? So you take the spear. You got to set down the lantern, right, on the floor.
Yep.
And you get out the spear. And there's perfectly enough room. You turn the blade sideways, you're absolutely right. You can shove it in. So you kind of want to, like, shove it in over the first saw and try to stop that saw from turning. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of what I figured. Go ahead and make a dexterity save.
Oh, 5. Yes.
Nice. Well, yes. You do that all right. You stick it right in that slot, and that saw, not only that saw, but like the whole thing, the whole mechanism goes, it's a terrible grinding noise. Sparks fly out, and eventually the whole thing stops. But then there's a sound of like a shaking chain inside the wall, like a great big heavy chain beyond the wall. And then way down below you, like maybe in the basement or something, you're this great big boom, like a muffled explosion of some kind. And some falling metal and a few more screeches. And then the whole thing stops and all is silent.
Ah, well, that takes care of that, I believe.
Indeed it does.
It does make me a bit concerned, though, because could be other things, you know, like this that
yes.
We got to look out
for. Oh, yes, we definitely need to be careful. Every room we enter, we should be very cautious.
Well, you do feel pretty confident that you're right about one thing, which is that this room being active is a sign that much beyond this point anyway probably had not yet been salvaged.
Yeah, let's take a look at this man who is a victim of this saw contraption.
Yeah, he's a man with overlarge ears. He had a sword with him. It's a D6 sword. If anyone needs one, they can take one. And he had a grappling hook and a big coil of rope.
That could be very useful.
Yes, jackpot.
And then, like I say, at the end of the hallway, whether a maid just left it out or not, I don't know if it could be as useful, but there's a broom leaning outside the door. And then there's a door into what is probably a room in that turret that's off the side of the building, if your spatial relations are correct in your mind.
I'm going to, don't mind me, I'm going to go check out this broom just to make sure it's not some kind of arcanum. Could be special. You never know.
Yeah, you go over and you pick it up and your hands don't tingle. The hair doesn't stand up on the back of your neck. You feel quite certain this is a mundane broom.
Yeah, well, it was placed here and it seemed like it was had some sort of significance, but well, it's good to have a broom, I guess, in this house of ours. I mean, not that we're going to be living here, but you know, if we ever do want to clean something up. I don't think I have room for a broom, though. Be carrying it around. Someone else can carry it if they wish.
Well, you certainly know where it is.
Yes.
And, setting a broom aside for the moment, do you want to go through that next door into the turrets?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Well, door does not appear to be locked. You open it up, and it is a circular room. There are some narrow windows. They're very narrow and tall windows. And beyond them, you can see a few lights, you know, coming through from the Shagwater district of the great city of Bastion in the distance. But this is obviously like a child's room because everything's totally covered in dust. But there's a hobby horse sitting in one corner, like a little small-sized bed. A whole bunch of creepy dolls with porcelain faces that are staring at you. And there's a dressmaker's dummy, you know, over in one corner, standing there with its torso and no limbs. And rather startlingly to the left of the door is a rocking chair with a very large clown. It's like a marionette, you know, type clown. And it's grinning at you. evilly. There's like another doorway out of here too that must lead up higher into the turret. But
I don't like this room at all.
No, you like it even less when all of a sudden the dust starts to levitate and solidify into the shape of a little girl. Only she's got these two horns coming out of the top of her head and claws extend from her fingers. She still looks like dust, just like she's made from like kinetic sand or something. And she giggles in a little high-pitched girl voice and begins to lurch towards you. What do you guys do?
I better run to get that broom. I know what it's meant for now.
Okay, you run, or you grab the broom, and then what do you do, Roach? We'll keep the same order as last time.
Well, he's gonna eat a radish.
Okay, well, that'll help.
To give him resolve to deal with the dust monster.
That's great. That's a good idea. You chew your radish, and Nyx, what do you do?
I think I'm just gonna. I think I'm gonna have the skellies come out.
Okay.
And I will have one of them carry the lantern. I'm not going to have them do anything at this point because I think our friend Percy is right, and the broom is probably the best method of dealing with this particular creature.
Okay. Well, I haven't argued that it does take all three of them to hold up the lantern. You know, they got to like lift it up over their heads and carry it together, so it's like sort of tottering around at a little bit above floor level, right? And because it's kind of tottering, you know, the lights all get all creepy and weird and horror, you know, just flashing across the room. And so that's what you guys did, though, but no one attacked the thing. And as it solidifies more and more, it resembles so much the portrait of little Tiptoe Moon, the youngest sister that you saw down in the main room earlier. Only now she is this, gosh, animated dust spirit of some kind, and she lurches forward and picking on Roach a lot tonight, but I picture him standing there eating a radish as this thing like lurches forward at you, Sam Raimi style, with her little dust claws, and she rolls 4 points of damage, and yet you'd still manage to keep that radish in your mouth. And
well, I will have to make a strength test.
Oh no! And how far down did you go?
2 points of strength.
We should have thought to have a short rest before we came upstairs. There are all those couches too. That'll learn us. Should have suggested that to you.
Oh, Roach is down.
Oh no, Roach is down. Roach is down. He is down. And the thing giggles again, little girl like.
Miss, is it Tiptoe? Is it? Is that your name? Now don't be crass.
There is no more Tiptoe.
And
there's only Zool.
Sorry. Yeah. So
we have paperwork.
Well, why didn't you say so?
No. Anyway. God, I hope Roach doesn't choke on a little bit of radish that might still be in it. No, it's not going to happen, but it's just like radish like on your lip, though. Like, falls down.
You know how hard it is not to make a Keith Moon joke when you said that?
Oh, this is the Moon House, after all.
Yes.
Right. I just got, you know, the guy who died and left all the money, I just had this vision of, like, Keith Moon in a periwig, you know. Like, that should be like... Keith Moon now plays, you know, Father Moon in flashbacks of Father this. But this little weird dust spirit Tiptoe Moon obviously packs a punch when she needs to. And what do you guys do? What do you do, Percy? You grabbed that broom. You thought you had an inkling of something.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to charge forward and I'm going to dust you up, little girl.
You rushing? You dust her up now. This is an enhanced attack. And that means when circumstances are good for you or you have the right tool for the job or whatever, you roll a d12, no matter what you're using.
Okay.
So if you did some wild stunt or whatever with a normal weapon, this could happen. There's also the opposite of enhanced, which is you'd roll a d4, you know.
So,
but this is not. So you roll a d12 as you try to dust up little Miss Tiptoe Moon.
And I would still need to get under my...
You don't need to... have to make attack rolls in this game.
D12 is just damage.
Yeah, you just roll the That's d12 right. for... Yeah.
Okay.
No, I keep doing that, too. And... frankly, after that one fight, I don't really miss the attack roll after that first fight. But...
Okay.
Anyway.
6.
Oh, my. Okay. If she could scream, she might have just now. And see the dust around her begins to look unsettled. Real quick, though, Nyx, do you want to do anything? Since you're standing there. Oh, you hesitated. Well, she the dust shimmers for a little bit, and then she just explodes in a dust cloud. She's not dead, though, because it immediately begins to whirl back in. But there's dust particles now. Like, you're going to be blinded by all this dust and choking on it if you do not make a dex save. So if you're still up, you have to make a dex save. You're going to be momentarily blinded by the dust. It's almost like a flashbang of dust.
Oh, I failed.
I made it.
Oh, no. So you're staggering blinded. You can't see anything for a moment. What about you, Nyx?
I made it.
Oh, you made it. Well, you are not blinded. You stagger back a little bit. She re-solidifies into little Tiptoe. And then she tries to grab the broom out of Percy's hands, you know, while he's blind. Percy, you feel her try to grab it. Make a strength save to hold on to it.
Give me that, you.
And you notice how she didn't have to do anything. If she wanted to trip you or if you want to trip somebody else or whatever, it's only the character that's at risk who has to actually roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I failed.
Oh, no! She grabbed the broom out of your hand! Oh, no!
Damn.
And she breaks it over her knee.
You naughty girl.
Well, the broom part's still there, of course, you know. But, after that, you can feel it. You know, you're momentarily blinded, but then you feel okay. And unfortunately, our poor friend Roach is out. And, Nyx, what do you do? Never mind. You just did something, so Percy's going to go.
Well, she didn't actually do anything. She just...
Right. You didn't do anything. I said, hesitated. All right, go for it. You stopped hesitating.
I'm going to snatch up the business end of the broom.
Okay. You attack her with it. Whack
her with it.
Okay. You roll that
d12. Four.
Well, hey, guess what? Desperate times call for desperate measures. She is making a strength test. And, oh, my gosh, it's a 17. There's a terrible wailing sound as the dust all picks up as if it's like a, you know, tornado. And it spins around the room a few times. And there's a terrible whirring sound of agony. And then all the dust just settles back onto the floor. And you feel quite certain that little Miss Tiptoe Moon is no more.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
I still want to sweep her up and pour her out the window or something.
Good idea.
Okay. Now, while it's never specified anywhere specifically in the rules, a short rest restores your hit points. A week's full rest restores actual ability score loss, like Ryan's strength. But I don't see that it says you can't restore your hit points while retaining a lower strength, right? Because you can have missing ability score points.
Mm-hmm.
So you can wake up your friend and give him a short rest, you know, and make sure he's okay. He'll live. He just needs to be attended to within the next hour or he will die.
Yeah, I'll wake him up, slap him on the cheek a little, gently. Rouse him.
Ooh.
Choking on radishes.
What a radish, sure. I thought the radish was going to help, but it didn't help. So what happened with the dust monster?
She's been dealt with. She has returned to dust and swept up and emptied out the window, I believe. And, I see that you're quite injured. I think we are to I'll take a moment of rest here before we venture further.
Yeah, I'm going to need a few minutes here just to sort of compose myself. Yeah, I'm feeling a bit weak.
You have a deep breath. Take a swig of water.
No more eating and, radishes in you know, when we're fighting.
Well, I thought maybe we should be a nice dust monster.
Girl, no. Isn't that sweet of you?
Maybe she was a nice little girl once, but probably that was before the Society of the Existential Fulcrum.
Well, I don't want to just immediately attack anything that appears, because what if it's a friendly thing that appears, you know? But I suppose that's not likely in a place like this.
It's never friendly. That's one of the first rules of adventuring.
Yes, and I'm afraid this wasting disease, it really does waste people, it seems, into nothing but dust.
Ooh, better eat a radish then.
I'm going to have another radish.
Okay. All right, we have another radish. You guys have your short rest. You know, there's not much furniture here. There's the creepy clown rocking chair, but you satisfy yourself that the creepy clown is just a creepy clown marionette, and the creepy dolls are just creepy dolls. There's like the little half bed in here you can lay your friend down on for a minute. And we never said you guys have like water, but expeditions are assumed. If you're on a full expedition, you would just be assumed to have rations and climbing equipment and all that stuff. So we're going to assume that you've got, you know, cantina water and, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, ooh, so.
Radishes are like, you know, 80% water anyway.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. You get a little radish juice. And but as you sit here and you get a good rest and you're starting to feel, you can feel your HP coming back, right? Your strength that you lost is still gone. But how far down did you go anyway?
How far down did my strength go?
Yeah.
From 14 to 12.
Okay, yeah, that's not terrible.
When I saved, I rolled a 14.
Oh, no, that's isn't that just great?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys get your rest, though, and even this room's not quite so terrible after all. It was quiet, you know. It's dark. It's just your lantern light. And there are, like, old vents, you know, like, around the bottoms. You know, like, the old-school vents kind of jut out from the wall a little bit. And towards the end of your short rest, it starts to smell a little funny in the room, almost like a chemically burny smell. And then in the light of the lantern, you notice there's like actual dark smoke coming up out of the vents. There were two of them in this room. And just coming up, boiling up into the room. Not like thick, not really full and thick. It's a loose smoke. And you can hear this kind of low roaring sound far away, like coming through the vents. And you realize that's fire. There is a big fire down in this house somewhere.
Which we
and as you realize
caused.
That, yeah, that's where we'll go ahead and stop for tonight, and we'll see what happens next time. But yeah, you get the feeling that when you stopped that trap and you heard something all the way down in the basement, like you blew up a boiler or something, you know.
Yeah.
And probably the place is burning from the bottom up.
Oops.
So your time here is limited.
And probably all the good shit was in the basement, so.
Probably.
I was going to tell you there's a lovely buttery in the basement that might have been cool, but I promise you all the cool shit might still be ahead of you if only you can live long enough to get it. Next time, as we go back into the Oz.
Hey everybody, if you like our podcast, don't forget to leave us a good rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Spotify, or wherever you're able. Subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter at Goonies_World, and check out our website at GooniesWorldPodcast.com. Email us at GooniesWorldPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.